pray with me? Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past week, you can see up there, I was interviewed by Joel Pankos. That's Joel and his wife, Heather. They run Gator Wesley, which is the United Methodist Church's ministry on the University of Florida's campus. And go Gators, right? I heard a little go Gator out there somewhere. Yes, we've had some Gators in our family. Woo, 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 yep. Anyway, they've been doing these 30-minute interviews just to kind of give the kids something while they're away. They haven't been meeting in person, so they wanted to, you know, give them a little sense of worship over the summer. And the one that I was invited to, as they're preparing to come back to college in the fall, is called Start Right. That was our conversation that we had. Now, as the students were preparing back, there are very few times in our life where you get a new starting line in life. Very few. Very few. A new season, a new chapter, a new beginning, and starting college is really a big one. So during the interview, I shared this exercise that I used to do, because I was in student ministry for years, and we would take a group of graduating seniors off on what we would call a mystery weekend trip the summer before they went off to college. And at the beginning, I would tell these students, I said, you have this big, giant basket that represents the 18 years of you living in the house with your parents. And this basket is filled with all your parents and your family's beliefs, ideas, theology. It's filled with your family's traditions and their likes and dislikes. I mean, even food, music, travel. Your schedules, you know, some families love to sleep late. Some families never make their beds. You know, they've got all these things. Cars, I've heard people that drive Volkswagens or whatever forever. Their whole family drives one. So schedules and lifestyles. In this basket also, they have their parents' and family's political stances and beliefs, religious beliefs, the handling of money and finance, conflict, how they handle conflict and communication. Our baskets are filled with all of this as we are preparing to head out of our childhood homes and start something new. It is all new. Then, at the start of the weekend, when we get there, I usually tell the students, much to the parents' dismay, I want you to dump everything out of that basket. Every single thing that's in that basket, I want you to work on it and dump it all out. And then I want them to ponder what they want to put back in their basket. What do you want to put back in the basket? But here's the deal. They had to know why they were going to put it back and what they believed in. They had to take ownership of what they were putting back in the basket because it had to be true for them. You see, if we don't know why and we just keep everything that our parents believed or our families believed, all the beliefs and ideas and ways of living, life tends to lose its purpose, its passion, and its meaning for us as individuals. When the rubber hits the road, and it always does as we grow up, we don't know what we believe or why we believe it. That's tough. And in turn, then, we just don't believe anything until we find our way back. And we start saying, oh, this is what I know to be true. So in the conversation that I was having with Joel and talking about all these things, and we finished it up, I thought, wow, I think we, all the humans around the whole wide world right now, are standing at a new starting line together in this COVID chapter with very full baskets. We're being asked to do new things, try new ways, learn a new way to live. So my question is, with all these full baskets that we have, are we being a faithful community, responding to the local needs, or are we spending time fussing and fighting and complaining and blaming? Are we being good, healthy, faithful stewards? Are we being good parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents, neighbors and mentors? We also need to always remember the children around us are not only watching us, they are listening to us. Do our words reflect faith, or does it reflect fear and anger and frustration? Maybe our baskets are filled with old beliefs, ideas, maybe the ways that we used to do it. Maybe we're being asked to dump our baskets out and look through a few things, examine them, grow in order to grow and be transformed into where God wants to take us in this next season. We're starting a new Sunday series called Why? Because God. And this is a time in the church calendar that they call the ordinary time, but I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't feel like ordinary at all. Nothing about this time in the calendar feels ordinary. The season of ordinary time has us looking at Jesus' life and his earthly ministry. And as we study these stories of Jesus and try to live out or live into the miraculous moments in his ministry, we might ask ourselves, what does this mean in our lives? What do these stories mean? Is there something else going on? What if we're not supposed to be focused on how, but the whys? The series has us looking at Jesus and then looking at ourselves. Not so much to emulate Jesus. That's not what we want to do. We want to find the motivation to what we're doing is. What's our motivation for doing what we're called to do? You see, God's how is our why. In the gospel text in Matthew 14, we see Jesus feeding 5,000 and with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, here's what I want to say. I don't want us to get caught up in the how. How could this possibly happen? Because we get caught in that a lot. I want us to talk about why. And one of the things, if you don't know, is that this certain miracle, this particular miracle, is recorded in all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the only one that made it into all 4. Yep, Jesus, the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, the feeding of the 5,000 was the only one to make the cut. That alone should encourage us to pause and wonder why. Why? Why this story? Why was it so important? What does it reveal to us about God, and what does it reveal to us about Jesus and about who we are called to be in the world we're living in? What made this story worth remembering and made it into all 4 of the Gospels? Well, for one, it was a pretty awesome miracle, right? It was an encapsulation of provision and poignancy of need. At times, we can forget that to be provided for and have our needs met is a pretty miraculous thing. Scripture says, we heard it, that Jesus looked at the disciples as they were going, oh my gosh, he says, give them something. Give them something. I'm sure the disciples walked around and were scratching their heads saying, okay, Jesus, I do not understand this. How are we going to give them something? Is he messing with us? I mean, we've only got 5 loaves, 2 fish. But Jesus was up to something. The motivation for this miracle, first and foremost, was compassion. Compassion. We read that Jesus, despite being needing a timeout, needing alone time, which we all need, he was trying to get away, he recognized the needs of those around him, and he wanted to meet them. Now, at the same time of feeding the 5,000, Jesus was also providing loving leadership to his disciples. Because they were going, what the heck? I don't know what to do with this. The miracle story is an invitation to action and to involvement. Action and involvement, showing the disciples that they're just not supposed to follow Jesus. They're supposed to participate. They're supposed to participate. Jesus was trying to get the disciples to see that their resources, the 5 loaves and the fish, when put together, allied and blessed and combined with the power of God, always gave them more than enough, more than they thought, more than they could ever imagine. Jesus was trying to change that little attitude. We have nothing but, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Aren't we a little bit like the disciples? Especially right now, when we look around and we say, we have a tendency to look at what we don't have or what we can't do instead of looking at what we do have and what we can do. We can feel overwhelmed with the problems we face rather than being willing to start with the little bit we have, what seems totally inadequate, and see what God can do with what we bring him. That's exciting stuff, you guys. That's what this church actually, when I got here, grew on. God takes the very little bit that we're holding and makes a huge difference in the world around us. The disciples said, send them away. We don't have enough. We can't do this. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Give them something. Give them something. In other words, guys, you do it. In this one statement, he's basically saying, live. You just cannot sit back and watch me. You need to live it. You need to be a part of it. I'm counting on you. Step up and act out what you say you believe. The miracle is a wake-up call reminding us of God's provision, God's compassion, God's ability to bless, create, and multiply everything when we show up and we trust in God's power. That's faith in action. That's being a true disciple. God's how is our why. And should be why we have things in our own baskets, our own beliefs on meeting the needs around us, feeding the hungry, caring for the hurt, showing compassion to our neighbors right now. We give them something, Jesus says. Discipleship is rarely tidy. It's rarely convenient. It's rarely comfortable. But we are going to be asked to show up, be brave, live like we're loved, then share what we've been given with those around us. Love, money, food, whatever it is. I don't know what your resources are, but when you give your resources to God and let him use them, crazy things happen. The disciples were coming from a place of scarcity. We don't have enough. Jesus, oh my gosh. Jesus knew the theology of abundance. When we share what we've already got, because ultimately, God provides everything we need. The question is not how Jesus turned those 5 loaves and 2 fish into an abundance. It's why. It's why. Jesus was not only feeding the 5,000 and meeting a need, he was also longing to change the hearts of those that were there, the disciples, teaching them to share and to trust in God's provision and power. Do we have enough money to change our community? Do we have enough food to feed the hungry? Do we have enough people to spread the gospel and love of Jesus? Maybe. But we do have a theology of abundance that says, when we, as followers of Jesus, show up, give, and do what we can, you know what? You're going to see a miracle. You will see a miracle because God will bless it. May we all take a peek in our baskets this week and examine what's in there and ask, why is it there? Does it reflect who God is, God's power, provision, his love in our lives?